What a coast-to-coast ride this is going to be for all of us tonight. On the coasttocoastam.com website, feature article posted by Sean. Well, it's the anniversary of the 1942 Los Angeles air raid, but what's so important about that? I think it was a UFO raid. Just take a look at that photograph that is posted on the website. Absolutely stunning. There's some other information as well. The following audio that you can hear off the website, submitted by Coast listener Wallace B. from a 1942 CBS News broadcast, which details the incident. It really is something. So go ahead and take a gander at that. And also, meteorologist Scott Stevens, he's been on the program a number of times. He has been checking into photographs from space coming from SOHO. Okay, SOHO is a joint project by NASA and the European Space Agency. It currently is at a distance of 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. The orbital telescope takes pictures of solar flares and things like that, comets that fly past the sun. Well, Scott maintains that he has analyzed all photographs available in the SOHO archives, and he claims to have found, well, I'll let you know in a moment. We'll be right back. I saw the story tonight. Scott Stevens is a late addition to the program this hour. Scott, how you been?
I've been great. It's been a nice winter here in the Northwest.
Well, we're looking forward to another tumultuous hurricane season.
Oh, I would bet a paycheck or two on that.
Yeah, I think so too. Look, we miss you here. We haven't chatted with you for a while.
Thinking about doing the show just earlier in the week.
It's funny how it all works out. Synchronicity. Tell us, first of all, Scotty, a little bit about SOHO, this joint project.
Boy, SOHO is truly an amazing project, and it stands for the Solar Heliospheric Observatory. And what they needed was a tool to watch the sun, the environment around the sun. I mean, it is the central thing that keeps life, at least life as we understand it, thriving, at least here on Earth, and very possibly through other portions of the solar system. So we need to know the state of the health of the sun, and this is one tool that NASA and the European Space Agency, the ESA, use to keep tabs on the sun. It's not the only craft, but this one has been doing it for the better part of 10 years, and they do make available to the public a large portion of the data that they gather. Certainly not all of it by any stretch of the imagination. And I think many of us who watch SOHO and are curious about what's going on at the sun would like to see more of these, more of the pictures taken.
They take, thousands of photographs, right?
They have to.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be silly to invest the expense and maintain a satellite and literally not maximize that return on the investment.
Some are posted on the NASA website, but a larger part, as you say, you know, still unprocessed. We don't get a chance to see them.
No, we don't. And probably despite requests for those, I doubt we would get to see them. And it's just that way with all missions, be they to the sun, be they to Mars, or other reaches of the solar system. What makes it into the public domain is but a dribble of the information that is gathered.
Well, you know, what a lot of people might not know either, Scott, is that thousands of photographs of the moon, Mars, Venus, taken by U.S. and Soviet probes haven't even been analyzed by researchers yet.
Probably not, at least not researchers that are allowed to talk about things.
Good point.
You know, and therein lies the difference. At what point is the information public? If the public pays for it, and we're going there representing this nation or representing this government, do we not then have a right to the totality of the information about the environment of our planet and of our own solar system?
We have all known and have heard rumors about UFOs being photographed by SOHO. It's been circulating for years. NASA doesn't comment on these rumors. A lot of times when you see an anomaly on a photograph, they blame irregularities during transmission of the digital images back to planet Earth.
Sure.
You have analyzed how many in the archives?
Oh, boy. It's an ongoing process. To go back in time and look through all of them takes an investment of time. It's just easier to keep up with what's coming down the pike now. So if you just start today and then start looking at them very quickly, in a week's time, you will view hundreds of images. And you very quickly begin to pick up what's normal and what is not normal. And then there's this bit of data that you're simply not supposed to notice or question. And you're told that if a pixel is illuminated, it is either a star, a comet, which SOHO has been the discoverer, co-discoverer of many, many comets. I think we're over 100 at this point. And then there's just anomalies that show up. And we're not supposed to talk about those. You're not supposed to notice those. Or that it's an artifact of processing, as you mentioned, simply static. And I would say that there's a little more than just static going on out there. It's just obvious that there's more going on out there.
You have seen some objects that look pretty perfect in scope, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And as you weed through these different frequencies of light that SOHO peers at the sun through, it reveals different anomalies, which are constantly recurring. And some of them look very, very much like the UFOs that we have seen since the 40s and 50s and probably time before that. There they are on this billion-dollar instrument coming down from space and posted there for you to see. And sometimes there are blocks wherein, if you're looking at sequential images, sometimes one is missing in the regular time interval that they're posted. It looks like something shows up. We've got a block on it, and basically a blank space where that object may have been had we had the full set of data. But there's stuff going on there, George, and not just in the shapes of ships. But because we're looking at timed exposures, that also reveals movement, much like if you were to open the shutter on your camera and leave it open for 13 seconds, you're going to see movement when you look at the recorded image.
What do you think the projected sizes are of these objects that you've seen?
Absolutely immense. Absolutely immense. And really the only object that we can juxtaposition these objects to is the sun. And the diameter of the sun is upwards of 850,000 miles, which is a vast distance. Especially when you're looking at 4, 5, 6 foot size humans, we're looking at very large objects. And what we can't determine is the nearness of the object to the satellite, which is at a million miles. It's at what's called the Langrean point, the equal gravity point, where it gradually works in a figure eight orbit between the Earth and the sun. So it uses minimum fuel. So we're looking towards the sun. But the very real possibility is that these objects are just absolutely immense and very likely at least moon-sized.
Have you been able to question anybody about these photographs, Scott, or are these just photographs that you have looked at and you're making your analysis on it? Have you been able to challenge anybody with it?
Actually, it's usually the other way around, where they'll write from the agency and say, we're not usually in the mode of correcting people. And they have written once, but then I sent back other examples of things and no response. And George, disclosure has happened. It simply happened. People have to recognize that it has happened, and we don't have to have the government say, yes, it's true, for something to be true or for something to have occurred. And this is a secret that they will keep until they can use it to further their agenda with the population of the planet.
Scott, are we getting more UFO sightings on these digital photographs?
Whether they're on SOHO, whether they're visuals, whether they're just the talk of UFOs on the net as well has increased upwards of tenfold in just the last few years. So there is this broad discussion. It is open discussion in the media over in the subcontinent of Asia. When you get to India, it is simply an open discussion because the manifestation of these UFOs is simply so pronounced that it can't be denied. And there has to be a reason why they will not discuss it in this country. There simply is a reason why they will pass it off as swamp gas rather than own up to the fact that they're interested in them. And it must be because there has been an agenda in place. And that agenda entails us not knowing that they're aware of them and the purpose of their visits in and around this planet and the solar system.
Scott, I've seen some space shuttle video, and I got to tell you, it is unbelievable.
The tether experiment?
Yes.
Isn't it?
Objects everywhere. I'm talking about everywhere.
George, when we realized that the universe was created for life.
In Mission Control, you could hear them saying, up in the right there, up in the right. Do you see that? Do you see that? You know, it was amazing stuff.
Space is going to be like turning over a rock here on Earth and finding life everywhere. And that is going to be the paradigm that we're going to have to fit into in the very, very near future.
What's
any logical person is going to see this and go, what have they been keeping from us? And they're going to want honesty from the powers that be.
These UFOs seem to pop up a lot when the sun is pretty active, don't they?
That makes you wonder about what is going on at the sun, which would gather their attention or warrant their attention.
Uh-huh. Good analogy.
If we truly have a sun, which is a steady-state candle, which has burned for, as they claim, 4+ billion years, and is just in the midpoint of its life and will burn an additional 4 billion years, why is it behaving so unusual? What is going on that warrants the attention of these external species, warrants the attention of the security elements within our government? What risk does the sun pose for us?
Do you think, and you know, other experts have said, and I know you believe this too, that it's the sun's activity for the main reason for global warming. It's the sun's activity for other things that could affect us. Do you think that it's possible that if there are UFOs, extraterrestrials all around the place looking at the sun, monitoring the sun, they think there's something going on and they want to witness it, or maybe they can help fix it?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, we've got a technically advanced, aware civilization that may be entirely unaware of a destiny that lies immediately ahead of them. And that fact alone likely warrants the attention of a great number of civilizations. They want to see how humanity will respond to the news that something may be going on at the sun, something that may warrant disclosure in short order. And they're here to observe our behavior and likely render assistance in returning this planet's ecological systems, the sun, to balance if that assistance is requested. We often, extend prayers, but in a rescue situation rather than in one of assistance. I mean, it's out there. I mean, the universe will provide a balance if the intent to seek that balance, the intent to ask that balance, is expressed to the universe. And all it takes is you and I and everyone listening to say, I do. I accept the help, or I ask or request help from the universe. Leave that as an open-ended request so those that would gain the most or help us the greatest with the highest and best intentions for all concerned, that can be attracted to us.
I got to tell you, Scott, you know, the sun was pretty active. It's not supposed to be, but it was pretty active last year, and there were some coronal mass ejections that, had they hit us, could have been devastating.
Well, and now it's exceedingly quiet. We have reached what appears to be solar minimum as we move from about 1st, 2nd, 3rd February through the following 10 or 12 days. I don't recall exactly.
It's very quiet.
Without any sunspots. And that hadn't happened, I believe, since about 96. So in recent past, it's been very quiet. But we have solar maximum, again, immediately ahead of us. And who knows how intense that's going to be. You know, if it was hurricane season 04 to hurricane season 05, then we've got one heck of a solar season coming up as we approach 2012.
Well, you're a meteorologist, not an astronomer, but you look at a lot of things in space.
I've got a telescope in the backyard with solar filters.
I love it. Is it possible that there could be an object or objects behind the sun and we can't find it? We can't see it?
That you and I don't have the technology to see it. Yes, that's an absolute possibility.
How about astronomers? Big ones. You know, they can't see behind the sun, can they? No, there's no way.
Well, I suppose they could if we had a craft, say, the Cassini that's around Saturn, I mean, if they were to slew those instruments around, if they're even calibrated to look towards the sun, but there may not be the angular separation to be able to see something there. No doubt we've got some asset which could be deployed to see what's going on, whether it's a publicly aware asset or something that they've got kept hidden away. There's no question they know exactly what's going on.
Is there anything out there weather-wise right now, Scott, that really concerns you that we should put on the top of our list to watch this year?
I think a drought in the southern plain states is, I think, our greatest concern. And all it takes is one misstep within a crop or one missed growing season, and this planet would struggle or simply fail to be able to feed 6.5 billion people.
Now, this drought that's been occurring there in the Southwest, it's been, what, almost 4 months long?
Four months. And that was just after, in some locations, a brief break. You know, you go to Lubbock, Texas. You go to West Texas, eastern New Mexico, the high plains of Colorado, and the drought goes back upwards of 7, 8, 9 years.
What are these people going to do, though, if this drought continues? I mean, where do they get their water source?
We either dig deeper wells or we consume less water. Those are the two choices. We don't have, you know, other than reaching to the aquifers that are down deep, But without sufficient surface rain, I don't know whether many of these farmers have the equipment in place to water their crops, let alone the pasture land, which then impacts the price of meat and cows. And with those pasture lands already this time of year, over the next several months, should be in their best conditions yet to support the calving, and it's not.
Scott, what's your website?
Weatherwars.info.
All right. You're going to stay with us for some phone calls?
You betcha.
All right. We will do that with you in a moment, Scott. Now, let me ask you this, too. You know, you're no longer a television meteorologist, so you've devoted your career now to do what?
Well, discussing the projects of weather modification, ascertaining the purpose of chemtrails and their activities in the skies, although we think we've got that down pretty good. And honestly, George, waiting for disclosure from the sky.
You know, I've been let's not wait too long, both of us, huh?
It's my feeling is it's imminent. It truly is imminent. The question is whether it comes from a revelation from our government or they are forced to show their hand.
Were you always interested in this field?
Always. Always. Old souls always are.
Did you ever talk about it on the your old TV shows?
I think the closest I got was just simply the statement that I believe there's life out there.
I bet you just wanted to tell all some nights.
Of course you do.
Huh? You're given the temperature of the town you're in, and I bet you wanted to say it all.
Well, you know, but you get the calls from the viewers who see unusual flashes in the skies, and you want to go meteorite. I mean, that's the automatic reaction.
Well, you know, you're big news in Russia, where Pravda has you plastered all over the place. Did you know that?
I got one email from a local listener, a lady here in Pocatello, who sent me basically that notification this evening. Otherwise, I was unaware.
Yep. So, she must have sent me one, too, because that's how I found you.
So I need to find out what's going on and what I've said that they've dug out of the archives.
I'm telling you, they may want you over there on some kind of speaking tour, Scott.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, George, that you can't talk about with call letters attached to your name.
All right, what we're going to do for what's left of this hour, we'll open up the phone lines for Scott Stevens. Questions about the possibility of SOHO photographing UFOs. If you want to talk about solar activity, if you want to talk about predictions for the weather for this year, let's have Scott Stevens go out on a limb and tell us what he thinks of the hurricane season this year. It can't break, right? It can't break last year's.
Weathermen live out on the limb.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Do you think we'll ever see in our lifetime the perfect storm?
Absolutely. I really do.
All right.
We've had one example. There will be others.
Stay with us. Scott Stevens, our guest. Your phone calls, lines are open. Next hour, we begin our open lines with a little statement from a devil channeler. Don't go away. Hey, we're going to keep Scott Stevens, a meteorologist, for another half hour with your phone call, so take advantage of it. Take advantage of this, too, by the way. It is the last weekend where we'll give you the free CD called Perfect Possession, an Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms. When you subscribe and get your After Dark newsletter, this will end this weekend, and it will not be available anymore, and it is a collector's item. The response to this CD has been absolutely unbelievable. So you can call 1-888-727-5505 to subscribe to After Dark and also get the free CD. 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Scott, it's the anniversary of that 1942 Los Angeles air raid with that UFO in the air, and I got to tell you, what an incredible picture that is.
I had to navigate over to your site to take a look at that. I hadn't seen it in a while.
Isn't that something?
It is something, you know? I don't know what else it's going to take to get this pushed over the edge, George.
And they fired everything they had in their arsenal at this thing, and they still couldn't do anything.
And 10 years later, they were over Washington, D.C.,
yep.
In 1952.
Oh, yeah. Right over the White House.
You know.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's just, you want to slap people around and say they're here. They've always been here. They've guided the development of this civilization. And there's good and there's bad. It's just, you're frustrated. You're just frustrated with people who just can't step out of the box and see what's in front of their eyes.
Well, let's take some calls, kind of get people ready for my open lines next hour, Scott. Here we go. Right. East of the Rockies, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jeff in New York City.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Hey, I've actually sent you some photos of objects in the sky, a couple of months ago.
Right.
One was a disc and a picture of a disc and an orb, and then there was a hole in the sky.
Yeah. They're all over the place, you know, and it's interesting because some of these holes will show up when there are discs present in these digital photographs.
I
was going to say, and then usually you'll see the chemtrails show up almost immediately. Almost immediately, they'll crisscross the sky and sometimes literally just circle the spot where these glowing orbs manifest.
Right. And I read something about Project Cypher. Have you heard of that?
I don't know the details.
Cypher. I have not heard that either, Jeff.
It's connected with, it's like an Italian... that operation that created these drones, these orbs.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. I just wanted to ask you, what do you think that is going on with these orbs?
That's so wide open because at this level, the military has had access to the technology to do this for better than 50 years now. So there's a very real possibility that a substantial portion of the small ones may be ours, you know, and that they're just up there. Literally in front of our faces, doing whatever they are doing.
In our faces, absolutely right. What are your theories on chemtrails?
A couple of times.
They seem to have died down a little bit.
You've got a storm coming in from the west, and George, they were active off in the Pacific, off the California coast today.
All right.
And as that guy marches a little bit closer, they're literally marking the physical boundaries and the specific altitudes where the weather manipulation is occurring. And what I've come to in watching the time-lapse photography over the last couple of months is that literally the planes are guiding these scalar weather engineers. And so,
if they can manipulate, Scotty, how come they're not bringing rain over the drought-stricken Southwest?
Because they're not there to do it for the benefit of mankind. It's part of the tightening of this noose around humanity. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Texas or Tijuana, or Tanzania. It doesn't matter. It is them. It is the elite versus all of the rest of us.
Amazing. First time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, this is Bob. I'm trucking across Pennsylvania right now.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I've been out here trucking third shift for almost 4 years now, and I've seen a lot of shooting stars and meteorites and things, and one thing I've noticed about meteorites, they're kind of greenish in color, and I've noticed a lot of them seem to come straight down toward the Earth, and these shooting stars just streak through the sky just for a split second, and they're most generally white in color. who's to say that those shooting stars aren't a UFO that's temporarily entered our atmosphere and just cruising right on through at a high rate of speed?
You know, there are many, many possibilities. But also, these meteorites have different physical characteristics. What the little rock or the pebble or the sand is composed of chemically will then determine oftentimes what its color is, and then its angle as it approaches or is swept up by the Earth or simply intersects our orbit will likely determine it, well, does determine its fall pattern. But again, these orbs, these other objects very well may come in, just bounce off the atmosphere and continue on. You know, when you're driven, when you've got magnets as you're driving, as magnetism, and you move into a planet which has a very robust field, you know, you're going to wobble a little bit. You know, and apparently these pilots aren't as good as we would like to think they are if they're piloting these crafts with as many crashes as there's been. You got to wonder.
Right, right.
But you'll, if you're still driving out there another 4 years, you'll probably see many more items.
I can't really say that I've seen any UFOs. I'd like to see one, you know. I'm kind of skeptical about it, but, you know, I have seen ghosts. I believe in them.
You know, usually seeing one converts somebody. You know, that's usually enough. So
I've seen an asteroid one night just south of Mansfield, Ohio, on Route 71 going toward Columbus. And it come through the sky kind of slow, and it was real low. And I thought it was a plane at first, and I was wondering what it was doing going that direction because Lom Airport was back the other way, and the only other airport over in that direction was Akron Canton, and it was pretty low, you know, to be that close to Mansfield to be coming in for a landing already. And I kept looking at it out of the corner of my eye as driving down the road, and I noticed it was just a big round ball, and the front end of it was just smoldering. And of course, I had to keep my eye on the road, but I kept glancing back at it, and I could actually see like a vapor trail behind it. This thing was low, and I watched it until it went over to the top of the trees, you know, and then, of course, I couldn't see it anymore. But
buddy,
I turned the TV on and heard other truckers commenting about it. You know, one guy says, "Hey, man, did you see that meteorite?" And one guy says, "Meteorite? Heck," he said, "that was an asteroid."
Well, I bet that it was more likely one of your orbs rather than an asteroid, because if it was an asteroid, it would have been going very, very quickly.
Right. Well, I just call it that because it was so huge and so low. I've never seen anything like it. It was really amazing.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Thank you, Bob.
It was like the size of maybe the 747, you know, the nose of that, you know, coming in low for a landing.
Interesting.
That's how big this thing was.
You may have seen more than an asteroid.
Scott, what about these balls of light that come at people?
Mm. Oh, boy.
What are they?
I think...
Plasma balls? Who knows?
Well, there is, when we are dealing with severe weather and there's active weather around, and those plasma balls do show up, there is a scalar weapon aspect to it. And the best analogy is that of a rifle with a laser sight, with a razor. So you're seeing the point of red light where you're pointing the gun. Of course, you're going to be able to hit your target very closely. And Colonel Bearden calls these plasmoids. And they're simply a registration device for these scalar howitzers, so you can target the weapon accurately. Altitude, and then basically it's GPS position.
You've heard reports of these large triangular-shaped objects. I'm getting reports that they may be military cargo craft. They might have been reverse-engineered, but that's what they are.
And that's what I've heard through the people I've talked to, is that they are ours, that they are ours.
Yes.
And that kind of took me back a little bit, but more than one person has said that to me. So I'm a little more, you know, when you get a confirmation, that always helps. But why?
Aren't we coming up on the anniversary of the Phoenix Lights pretty soon? I think we are. I think that happened in March.
That was March. March of 97.
It's coming up.
And the intensity of these sightings, that it will just get so obvious in an attempt to get people to step out of their boxed-in belief systems and accept the reality that we are not alone.
Wild Card Line, welcome to Coast You're on the Air with Scott Stevens. Hi there.
Hey, my name's Bruce, and I'm calling from Big Bear,
California. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, I was just wondering, if space is still expanding, what's beyond that?
What's beyond that?
If it's still expanding. As a matter of fact, I saw a story tonight of a PhD type who thinks that universes can collide And he's got his own theory that we're going to get mangled up one day. Now, that's scary, Scotty.
You know, I don't know that we've got kind of time to get into the expansion and the all of this, but it will keep expanding. And, I mean, all of us, because we've got to jump into the spiritual realm if we want to talk about this, and it takes several minutes. I think once the realization that there is intelligent design behind all of this, that there is a purpose for the universe, and that purpose is for life, to experience life, and that the Big Bang, the decision to create this universe, was an intention, and it didn't come from a ball. It came from the higher dimensions, the higher realms, which contain far, far more energy than that which we experience. But the Big Bang will eventually be renamed the Great Spark of Life.
You may be right. It sounds better, too.
And that life is expanding. And like the breath of the divine came out from the first breath, and it continues to expand outward. As we are all growing, we are all still becoming, and we're here to experience the polarity of the third dimension, light and dark and good and bad and male and female, abundance and destitution, all of these emotions we will all experience in a variety of formats. And in the fullness of time, when all of these things have been experienced, space will quit expanding, and we will, that breath of the divine will be withdrawn as the experience is completed. And at that moment of rest, a contemplation will occur. And we all participated in this experience, and all are participating in this experience. We chose to be here now to gather the most from whatever is coming in the coming months, days, and years ahead of us. And when the universe will expand until we're done experiencing, and all of that will then be drawn back in. We'll wait for a moment and try something else.
Are you as controversial with NASA as Richard C. Hoagland is?
I could be. I could be. Richard's made a name for himself. Congratulations, buddy. He needs a hug and a pat on the back. Because NASA is, you know, if we could pull the NASA within a NASA out of NASA, and we could get honesty and integrity back within that institution, critical thought, exploration done in the name of the people. You know, if we were to self-fund explorations into space or even to Mars, I couldn't begin to tell you the discoveries we would come back with in the first few hours and then the first few days. It would dwarf what NASA has released to us to this date over their 40 years of exploration.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. Earlier you said that there may be something behind the sun. And I'm wondering if you mean then that is the universe flat as opposed to round? I've always considered it to be round, just intrinsically.
Well, something behind the sun doesn't necessarily have to relate to the shape of the universe. In a few weeks, Mercury will be, well, in front of the sun, and then a few more weeks it'll be behind the sun and just simply out of our line of sight. But there was imagery on SOHO on the... it was an afternoon U.S. time on the 23rd, just yesterday, and it appeared as if there were two very, very large, or at least bright, brilliant objects. You couldn't determine the size of the objects, one above and one below the equator of the sun, but within the mask of this SOHO data. And I think that's the reason why we're doing this show tonight, because it was, wow, there is something there. And then all of the other frequencies were missing, the other images.
Would it not eventually be seen, though, by something like really, really clearly by something traveling in space, a satellite taking pictures?
Well, I'm sure if the satellite is tuned or shielded so it can look in the vicinity of the sun, then it probably did see it and has seen it. And this is why there's a national intelligence, a national security issue associated with NASA, is they look at a lot of sensitive data. And as they continue to keep this issue of UFOs suppressed, they have got to actively keep information from reaching the public so we can keep from reaching a logical conclusion about what's going on in the sun and in the rest of the solar system.
In our lifetime, Scott, what one thing would you really like to see disclosed or found? Is it this subject?
That we're not alone, that we're on the verge of rejoining a galactic brotherhood, that we are an isolated, stranded group of humans trying to fumble around in the darkness that we have allowed to descend upon us because we have not demanded integrity from our leadership. And when we throw off that corrupt and simply immoral leadership, then we can continue our destiny. Humanity can regain its destiny. But until we throw off the elite that control the world governments, until we literally throw them off this planet, it is ours. This is our planet. It is our destiny, and it is not up to them to decide our future. And for the last 6,000 years, they have, and it's time for that to end.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Jason, and I'm from Ohio.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, also
Jason.
First-time caller.
Good.
I have a comment or question, actually, for your guest tonight. About 10 years ago now, I used to live in Berlin Heights, Ohio, which was not too far from NASA Plumbrook. And I had a very big experience, as well as my wife at the time, with orbs. We were sitting watching TV on our couch, and across the street is a big milk farm. And into the field came these large green orbs, but with several orbs up above the tree line. They actually looked like they touched down in the trees. And then as quick as they were there, the three in the sky took off, and the ones in the ground just, like, they just shut off. But we never saw the ones on the ground leave.
Any instances with the animals across the street? Did you hear of anything?
No, actually, it was too quiet. There usually is, you know, a lot of mooing because it is a milk farm, and there's a lot of dairy cows, and just in general, they're not normally that quiet at that time of night. It was probably about 10 o'clock at night.
But they were there. I mean, there's no question between the two of you that they were there.
There's no question, because we went out on our front porch, and at the same time, so did the neighbors, two up and two down from us, and we just kind of threw our hands up like, whoa, you know.
Wow.
And being that we were that close to NASA, probably about 5-6 miles as the crow flies, just wondering, you know, if in fact it is government actually owned and not from another place.
You know, they seem to be very interested in genetic profiles. With the harvesting of DNA and genetic materials across southwestern Colorado, and this has gone on for quite some time, literally, and the millions of people that have had abduction experiences and missing time, that a genetic profile is likely being developed. And who knows? There may be some catastrophe awaiting mankind. And this genetic profile of life on Earth is in the process of being saved for some future planet, for some future.
Right.
And simply we're collecting this and filling the library, filling the ark prior to something happening at the sun.
What seemed to be sheer irony, too, is about a week later, one of the neighbors that had come out, she came to me, like I said, a week later after that incident, and said a red orb had actually flown between our houses at about 1 a.m. when she got up one night. She couldn't sleep.
Wow. That's cool. That's really cool. You know,
that kind of freaked me out, actually.
You know, but I can understand why it would freak you out. I think it would probably unsettle my stomach for a little bit, but then it would just be another confirmation that these things are there.
And yeah, I'm very intrigued by it. I try to do research anytime I can. I hope someday that the government does just spill their guts and say, look, it's been here since Roswell. And it ain't going anywhere.
they won't until we simply force their hand. And with a press that is sadly absent from this issue, with academia, again, sadly absent.
Scott, thanks for being on the program. Keep in touch, my friend.
My pleasure.
Scott Stevens, meteorologist. When I come back, we will have the statement of the devil challenger or channeler, and I'll explain a little bit about this individual, Dimitri. I do believe that we will post a picture of him on the coasttocoastam.com website so you can see him. We had him up there a couple days ago, but we'll put him on the homepage for you. So we'll be back in a moment. Open lines now. Continue on Coast to Coast AM.